Mark, you ready? Thumbs up?
Okay. Just a number of things before the share. This night's share was dedicated to the yahrzeit of Rabbi Nathan's sister. Tonight is, and tomorrow, Pesach Sheni, which, according in the Ashkenazic minig, is recorded by the Aruch HaShulchan, is to say Tachnun, as the minig of the Beis HaKnesses, to say Tachnun tomorrow. Many people have the practice of eating matzah on tomorrow. I also ask everyone, Steve Riesbaum is sitting Shiva for his mother. There's a sign up online from Shnayis for that. Barry Katz is going to be just completing Shiva for his sisters. And we send best wishes of Nechama to both of them. And the Rebbetzin and I would like to express our best wishes for a good Shabbos to all of us. And we're looking forward that shortly we should be back in the Beis HaKnesses and be able to do this face-to-face. Achi Yerachem Hashem, so the Rebbeinu Shalom is kind enough to allow us to take, for that to take place in that manner. Baruch Hashem, at least we have the opportunity of the Zoom to see each other in real time, if only virtually. This week we read Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor is a very, very famous parsha, particularly because it has Parshas Emor Adas, the Shorah Chesed, the laning that we read on many of the intaken throughout the year. And it's therefore it is quite renowned, this parsha. And I wanted to point out an oddity that unfortunately deal with in Parshas Emor, that Chamishi we start to deal with B'chodesh Hashvi'i B'echad B'chodesh. We've dealt with Pesach already, we've dealt with Shavuos, and now we get up to the seventh month of the year, and the first day of the seventh month, of course, is Rosh Hashanah. And it tells us about Rosh Hashanah, and then it begins with Yidabar Hashem Moshe L'mor, telling us about Yom Kippur. Ach, be'osor l'chodesh, but on the 10th day of the month, Hashvi'i Hazeh, Yom Kippur Amu, it's the day of forgiveness, with the Kodesh Riyah Lachem, etc. And then we find this again, at Shishi, we start again, by Dabar Hashem Moshe L'mor, Dabar Abba Yisrael L'mor, B'chamish Osa Yom L'chodesh, Hashvi'i Hazeh, on the 15th day, of the seventh month is Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yomim Lashem. And in the midst of this parsha, it tells us a little about the karbonos of the day, and then it tells us, Ach, b'chamisha osa yom l'chodesh ha-shvi, b'os b'chem es tuos aretz. But on the 15th day, when you gather the crops, the Chogos Chag Hashem Shivas Yomim, celebrate for 7 days the Chag of the Reuven Shalom, Mayim Harishin Shabbos, Mayim Hashemi Shabbos. On the first day, we may not do malocha, and on the eighth. So why is it in these two chagim, we have ach, why ach? Just tell us, why don't Rosh Hashanah, but also the chodesh ha-shvi, Yom HaKippur, why ach? What's the ach come? We might again, when we come to the sukkahs, should tell us, the chamish also Yom HaKodesh ha-shvi, but also Yom HaKodesh ha-shvi, but also Yom HaKodesh ha-shvi, why ach? And many before us should deal with this. It's a very beautiful explanation from a Meir Simcha and Meshech Chochma. And Meir Simcha tells us the following, that Rosh Hashanah could blow the shofar. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva that the shofar is an allusion to the fact of Uru Yishenim Yishinaska. Those that are slumbering should come to life. We should wake up and realize that we have a task, we have what to accomplish in this world. And if a person did tshuva, he aroused himself, he was inspired, he did tshuva throughout the series of tshuva, then he's going to come to Yom Kippur and he's ready to be cleansed, ready to get kapara from HaKadosh Baruch. And if he has a proper Yom Kippur that the Rebbeinu Shlom forgives him, or Sameach B'chag HaSukkos B'arba Minim, and he celebrates with the 4 minim on Sukkos, as it says, And when is that? That is with the dollar with what is that? Is before minute. So that's our hope, that we'll have such a Tishrei. We'll take off on Rosh Hashanah, we'll hit a shofar, we'll start to fly, we'll soar through the Aseret and the Tshuva. Yom HaKippurim, we'll do Tshuva, we'll soar into the stratosphere, and we'll enter Sukkos, entering the heavens, and we'll have a simcha with the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's what we would like to happen. However, it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes we remain in the slumber. We don't hear the call of the Shoyba. Even if we didn't do tshuva, but so we'll say, listen, I messed it up. The Rebbeinu Shem gave me Rosh Hashanah. I heard the Shoyba. Then I turned over on the other side and I went back to sleep. And now I'm coming to the shuva. It's called Nidra. Nevertheless, I went to bring also a lot of the times. It's still a Yom Kippur. The chayim, and suppose I didn't observe Yom Kippur at the highest level, and we'll keep Yom Kippurim, and we weren't zeichah the kapara. It's gamkein chayom sukkos. We still have to celebrate sukkos, and I think what Rav Meir Simcha is trying to tell us is we would like to soar, but ein lo denachar drochav hagoyim. We cannot necessarily hold ourselves to meet always the highest standards, and if we don't meet the highest standards, then we tend to look in the mirror and we'll say, listen, if I didn't hear the cry of Rosh Hashanah, if I didn't hear the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, if it didn't inspire me, so no. So, okay, listen, you know, Yom Kippur and Sukkot are also down the tubes. I just said, I slept straight through that series of Mitzvah. It's all over for this year. No, well, listen, Elul's coming next year. We'll try again next year. And hope that we, you know, arouse ourselves, get inspired a little bit earlier, and we go someplace. So the Torah is telling us, however it is, you soared spiritually on Rosh Hashanah, you soared spiritually on Yom Kippur. If you did, you still celebrate Yom Kippur, you still celebrate Sukkot, you still seek Kapara on Yom Kippur the best we can, we still celebrate the Simcha of Sukkot the best we can. And this is a tremendous, tremendous statement the Torah is making. The Torah is telling us that never to be discouraged. Life in the human realm has its ups and downs. Angels just go in one direction. They don't have bechira. We're human beings, subject to emotions, subject to all types of internal conflicts, external challenges, confusion, despair, anxiety, and that's all rolled together. It's not that they even come separately. Sometimes they're all rolled into one. And we may ask ourselves, well, where am I going? Is the Rabbanu Shalom truly, is he truly interested in my service and my avodah? Now, how am I going to show up to Yom Kippur to call Nidra if Rosh Hashanah, the shofar, did not enter my head? You touched my heart. I seriously made true my wild away. And now I'm up to Yom Kippur. But the Torah is telling us it's good to soar, and we should try to soar. But when we don't, which is also inevitable sometimes in life, that you keep going forward. Don't get down on ourselves. Don't degrade our service of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Don't denigrate our service of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam still wants a service, still says you're obligated to serve me. This is not an option. You have obligations, and you can serve me, and you can succeed today in my service, even if you didn't succeed yesterday, even if you didn't succeed last year. But always, a positive note, to hear the call of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam extends an outstretched hand to us, and we should draw closer to him. No matter what has happened today, what happened yesterday, what happened the day before, today is a new day. And we find this is an amazing pasuk, an amazing rashi, in Parshas Vayishlach, that after the passing of Rachel, so Reuven got involved in something he shouldn't have got involved in, as I'll tell us. And that is, he took up for his mother's honor, and he said, listen, if my father was closer to Rachel than he was to my mother Leah, so be it. Okay. I don't know if you're happy about it, but I do have to accept it. But now that Rachel is no longer here, then certainly primacy should belong to Leah, not to Bilhah. And Yaakov Avinu did not see it that way for other reasons. And Reuven involved himself in things he shouldn't have involved himself in. And the Torah tells us, after that, that still there were 12 sons of Yaakov, despite Reuven's misstep, he wasn't run out of the tribe. Then the pasuk begins a recounting, a pasuk called Gimel, this is chapter Lamed Hei, Perek Lamed Hei, pasuk called Gimel, of Yaakov's children. B'nei Leah, the children of Leah, B'chor Yaakov Reuven. The B'chor of Yaakov was Reuven. Now, what does it have to tell us there, B'chor Yaakov Reuven? Was it material that he was B'chor? It's telling us who was children of. Tell me, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. What's the necessity of telling us now who's the B'chor? And especially because this was not going to come to fruition. Reuven would never actually function as the B'chor, as we will see in the Brochus and Parshas Vayechi. So Rashi tells us, in a few succinct words, B'chor Yaakov, afilu b'shas ha-kalkol, even in such a time when he's messed up, koroi b'chor, he's still called the b'chor. Reuven perhaps could have thought, after such a serious misstep that I'm guilty of, that what am I worth? I have no place of significance. I certainly have no place of honor in Klal Yisrael. And what does the Rebbeinu Shalom tell us? Right after that, B'nei Leah B'chor Yaakov Reuven. Okay, you messed up, but you didn't lose your standing. You're still the B'chor. You're still a significant. You still are a shaven in Klal Yisrael, an esteemed shaven, because you are the B'chor. Just because we are guilty of a misstep doesn't mean that we can't do anything positive. The commercial was not interested in doing something positive tomorrow. Missteps are missteps. We have to correct them as we go through life. They shouldn't repeat themselves and do a proper tshuva for them. But despite missteps, there are very, very few things that can happen in life that the Rebbeinu Shalom will no longer be interested in our service. That the Rebbeinu Shalom will denigrate us. And therefore the Torah tells us, Reuven is messed up. And the Torah tells us he's messed up. But nevertheless, the B'chor Yaakov Reuven, he retains his status, his significance, his importance as the B'chor of Yaakov Reuven. And this is a lesson that we have to draw from today's parasha, that the Rebbeinu Shalom wants us to serve him. And it's with full understanding that we're not always going to come at the highest level. The Shas tells us in Sechta Shabbos that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to accept the Torah, so the Malochim were antagonistic. They told the Rebbeinu Shalom, how could you conceivably give the Torah to human beings? Human beings, they're going to trash everything in the Torah. Whatever it says in the Torah, they're going to wake up one day and they're not going to do it. So how could you give them the Torah? You said, the Torah belongs to the Malachim. We're angelic. We're going to do everything the right way. But the human being, what's the human being? Mo Enosh Kesis Kareno. What is man that we want you to take note of him? He's prone to sin and of all types of sin. So how can he uphold the Torah? But the Rebbeinu Shalom's answer was, the Torah was oriented to people. It was written for this world. He said, for the Malachim, do I have to say Le Sigza? For the Malachim? That's not your world. It has nothing to do with you. The possibility of improper behavior is inherent, is endemic to the human existence. The Rebbeinu Shalom said, that's where I gave the Torah, in that milieu. And therefore, the Rebbeinu Shalom remains undeterred if we take missteps. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, the door is open. Come back. Come serve me. I'm interested in your service. It's significant. And I recently saw an incident that happened in the life of the Rebbe Yehuda back in the 18th century, that he heard he had a Talmud of his that went off the Derech and became a Meshumet. He actually joined the Catholic Church. And, you know, the Yehuda went to see him and he asked him, what happened? You are an esteemed Talmud of mine. What led you in this direction? He says, Rebbe, I'll tell you. There's an incident that happened in my life, and that's what brought me to where I am today. I was once in the house, someone's house on Pesach, and there was a shayla on the food. So they knew that I'm a Talmud of the Rebbe Yehuda. So they asked me, please take part of food, bring it to the Rebbe Yehuda, and I'm going to suck from him if I let him eat this on Pesach. So the Talmud went to the Rebbe Yehuda, and the Rebbe Yehuda examined the shayla, and he told him that Mitzaradin, you're allowed to eat this food. But there's a chumrah of Pesach, it's worthwhile that he shouldn't do. That was the answer that he gave. This Talmud was on the way back from the Rebbe Yehuda's house to the Balabos's house. And the aroma of the food got to him. And he said, listen, the Rebbe said that it's all right. So he dipped in it, he had some, he sampled it. And then he came to the Balabos. So he said to the Rebbe Yehuda, no, I ate chametz on Pesach. So after eating chametz on Pesach, the Rebbe was interested in it. So that shattered me. I couldn't serve the Rebbe. So the Rebbe Yehuda told him, my dear Talmud, I said that it's mutter. He said, you didn't mean to be machmer, but if you ate it, you certainly didn't eat chametz on Pesach. Don't let yourself be so broken at such an incident. And the Rebbe Yehuda's words penetrated his heart and became a balchum. Came back again to serve the beer for me. But that sense that Chazal gave us, that the Rebbe Shalom is always interested in us, and we always have access to the Rebbe Shalom, and what we do is significant to be loved by the Rebbe Shalom. So never let ourselves be pushed away by the Yetzer Hara from the Rebbe Shalom. Well, if I've done A, B, and C, who am I to show up and shoot down? The Rebbe Shalom gave the Torah to us human beings with all our frailties. In full realization, as he told the Malachim, that we're going to mess up a lot of things among you. But so we'll strive and struggle to serve the Rebbe Shalom, and that's what's significant for the Rebbe Shalom. So that's the lesson that we need to take from Parshas Emor, to have a positive view that wherever we are and whatever's happened, the door is not closed. We have the opportunity to go forward. And the Rebbe Shalom awaits us with open arms. I want to now go over to Mesilas Yesharim, and as soon as Mark indicates that he's ready,